The current spoiler warning level is Azure.
Friends and folks, for this episode, you're looking at a spoiler warning level of Azure. The real cars, folks. Please enjoy the episode. Hello, friends and folks, and welcome back to another episode of Mechanista NG and our continued plumbing of the depths of the world of mecha design. I'm Six Step Mark.
And I'm Dylan. I mean, have we really plumbed the depths yet? Have we? How many units have we covered? And it's over 2,000 now, right?
Oh, yeah.
Very easily over 2,000. Well, look, there are still a lot of things we haven't covered. There are a lot of robots in the world.
Listen, we covered that like fake CG Dodge Viper. We've gone pretty deep.
We sure fucking did.
So, there are more depths. You know, listen, just because you go to the bottom of the ocean doesn't mean you've explored the whole length of it. But we are pretty deep, I think. I think that's allowed.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
I'm also annoyed real quick because I'm looking at a stub article on the Gundam Wiki for the Gyan Space, right?
Uh-huh.
And it says it's a mobile suit from the anime Mobile Suit Gundam. No, it isn't. That's not true.
Wait, the Gyan Space is the one... That's the, Blue Destiny, right?
I don't know that. It looks like it. It looks like that.
Yeah, Naoki. It is. Okay, yeah. This is the from the new Blue Destiny manga.
It's not from 0079.
No. Which is really funny, because if you look at the developed from there, it also has the YMS 15J Gyan Jill Jigger custom that is properly credited to the Blue Destiny.
Yeah, I suspect it's just one of those classic cases of, like, copy-pasting and not changing very many things about
the article. Yeah, I think they copy-pasted the original Gyan article, weirdly.
For whatever reason.
Yeah.
Well... By the way, quick apologies for MMO or a subdued voice today. I am coming off of a summer cold, and as a person who doesn't have an immune system, it really fucked my shit up.
Unfortunately.
So, yeah. Where mostly at this point, it's just that my throat is agony, but there were days of not sleeping because I was so uncomfortable. Anyway, let's roll some dice.
Yeah.
Do you want to do a listener request or regular?
I think we did a regular last week, so let's do a listener request.
Okay. First half. Reroll. We only have 9 things on this first half. This is D10. That's another 10. You need to stop this. Okay. All right. This should be pretty easy.
Mm-hmm.
Model number wise, I mean.
Oh, okay.
RX-7.
RX-7?
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't... There's not an RX-7. There's an RX-78-7.
You're not remembering your spinoffs well enough. Your side material.
It's not a gun tank.
Because who could forget the Mazda RX-7?
Oh, you gotta be fucking kidding me. Oh my god. Listeners, why do you hate me?
Shoutouts to listener Janet. It's J4N-ET3. I'm assuming I'm supposed to pronounce that Janet, but apologies if I'm wrong about that.
Why do the listeners hate me?
I mean, you know, very hateable.
Wow. I'm just sad.
Well, let's talk about this rotary engine car. Not a lot of those. Rotary engines, not super popular.
I don't know what a rotary engine is.
Well, congratulations. You're about to learn. Here is a GIF of a rotary engine. And it's not GIFing. Great. Thanks.
Wait, let's if I open it in browser. Nope. That didn't work either. Oh, I see it. Okay, it's on the Wikipedia page. Okay.
Let's see. Does this work?
Okay.
Yes, there you go.
Now my realization is I don't know what makes this different from a normal engine, because I know what a normal engine does in theory, but I don't know what it looks like. So this is like... Huh. This is strange.
It is strange.
Okay. What are rotary engines typically used on?
I mean, cars. They're just not very popular. I mean, I think beyond cars... They are, it says here, they're mostly, this is just me reading Wikipedia, by the way. I'm not an expert in this.
Okay.
Chainsaws, jet skis, snowmobiles, but they have had limited success in the field of cars and motorcycles because they're weird.
Okay. Also, I presume we're sticking with just the RX-7 and its many generations, because I noticed there's an RX-3 and an RX-8. And this will be a very long episode if we're going over all these, I think.
Are they rotary?
Yes. The RX-8 is. What's the RX-7? The Mazda Grand Familia.
The RX-3 is also... There's a rotary variant of it. You know what?
I'll let you guide me. I'll let you guide me on this. I don't know cars well enough to be able to say, ah...
Let's do the RX-7, and then if we get through it faster than maybe you're thinking, then maybe we'll do a few others.
Okay. Beautiful. The Series 1, yet again with having a car that looks better than the one that's at the top of the page. I like this. And it's got the little flippy lights that I like. My only complaint on this is the mirrors. I guess I'll describe it real quick, okay. So what we have here is a car. It is, I would describe it as pointy at the front. Like, it's the way the hood tapers down and, like, the bumper and stuff taper. They all go to, like, a central bumper that it makes it feel like it's not, like, pointed at the end, but it feels like it guides towards a point in a way that, like, other cars are kind of more flat on the front, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, it has the little flip-up headlights. My only real complaint with this is the mirrors are, it's those mirrors that are installed way at the, front, and I tend to not like those as much.
Yeah, sort of center of the front hood. Well, yeah. Not center as far as, like, as on one axis. They're still to the edge, but, you know.
Yeah, but they're, you know, located way more forward than I am, than I tend to like. You also have a very protruding bumper, actually, on the front, I should note. It's got, like, little black... parts on the sides and like a black part in the middle. I'm presuming, I don't know if the black is consistent and the rest of the colors are not, or if it can all be painted or what, but
I think the idea is the black is plastic, and so it's intended like for minor bumps and stuff. The plastic is protruding and will be the part that catches it, so you won't scratch your metal.
Yeah. You've got little what are those little yellow lights on the front? Are those just reflectors probably?
On the front sides, yes. On the very front, those are probably turn signals.
Oh, those are the turn signals, duh. Yeah. I didn't know if those would be on the lights that pop up. Actually, I might look up another picture of the RX-7 also, just original. RX-7, 1980. Someone has to have the lights up on this damn thing. Everyone had all the pictures. I mean, I guess it makes sense. All the pictures of this that I'm finding are parked, but it means that I don't see. Okay, there's the lights. Oh, it's got circular lights too. Okay.
Ooh, show me.
Yeah, here. I believe this is a render. It looks like it looks too shiny to not be a render. Let me look.
Oh yeah, this is definitely a render.
Yeah. But yeah, circular. It looks like it has the circular headlights, which I like the circular headlights. I think they look cute. Also, sorry, I just saw this one for sale in a lot somewhere. Hold on. This one's kind of a nightmare. I don't know how this happened. It looks like hail, maybe? Or, I don't know.
Yeah, this one's seen better days. Yeah. Oh, boy.
Anyway, it looks like that they can actually have the mirrors located where I prefer them, also. Just, I'm noticing in some pictures. I blame the British for this. Probably not the British, I don't know. I just remember the British car had a lot of these mirrors like mm-hmm. that. If I'm remembering right, I might not. So you've also got... Oh, actually, I'm noticing another thing. So if you look above the little reflectors on the side, it looks like you can optionally have a trim there, like black trim on the little inlay there, because it's got like this little, like, you know, the plastic or the metal sinks in a little. And it looks like some models of the same version can put a black trim around that.
Interesting.
It's also on the side doors too, like here. Let me show you real quick. Here's a good example that has it on all. Because it's the same color as the one we're looking at on the Wikipedia page, but or similar enough color, but...
Yeah, it's, this looks more like a sort of a candy apple as opposed to the darker red of the one we're looking at.
Yeah, but, the one we have here is, like, I guess, like a maroon. That's what I think my my old car was described
that's
as.
Fair enough.
That same color. But yeah, so it can have a black trim on it. This applies to the area above the reflectors, the side doors, and the rear area. Looks like, for other things, should mention this is a, two-door car. I'm presuming you can only...
A coupe?
Yeah, a coupe. I'm presuming you can just have only two people in it. Does have a sizable trunk, it looks like, because, you know, it's got, like, the little side, like, you have windows looking into the trunk. So, I guess it has a sizable trunk, but, yeah, it is a two-door. This version has a little spoiler at the end, though, that we're looking at on the Wikipedia page, though that seems to be optional. The spoiler looks to be plastic. If you look at the other one that I linked, instead of having the spoiler, so the one we're looking at also seems to just have a rear windshield. The one that we have has, like, I don't know how to describe that, like, some tiny set of stairs? How do I describe that on the back?
So it has basically, there's this, I think it's supposed to be like a sun deflector, right? But it is like, imagine shutters on a window, right? Because it's this, it is like, it does look stair-like in nature. It is black, probably plastic, right? Mm-hmm. And it's just staggered all the way down with slots in it to let sunlight in, but not too much.
Yeah.
It's a thing that doesn't really get put on cars anymore.
Yeah. It looks like that might be also just this guy's particular model that has that, because I'm seeing a lot just have the, you know, back windshield.
Well, if you look at his, you can see it's bolted on.
Yeah. Oh, it goes over. Okay. That makes sense. That makes sense. It looks like also sometimes there is a sunroof and sometimes there isn't. Like, the model on the Wikipedia page does not have a sunroof. However, several models I'm seeing in the related things seem to have a sunroof.
Sure, you get options.
So, optional sunroof. The nothing special going on with the doors, you know. You got your standard plastic door handles, though they are black, which is scary for me as someone from Vegas, because my brain goes, oh no, those would be so hot in the summer. Awful to open the door. Looks like also... I can't tell on, so you can see on the two recent ones I linked you, does it need a key to access the, gas, like the, where you pump the gas?
It looks like it, yeah.
Okay. I just had not really seen that. And then the rear, you have another large bumper on the back of it, kind of like the one on the front, looks like also, optionally, you can have, like, there's, like, two little plastic bumps sticking out to protect the license plate, it looks like, in case of you getting rear-ended or something.
Mm-hmm.
Also, some very square... it's really interesting that the front lights are the circular ones, because then the rear lights, you know, you just got your standard, like, rectangular
Like stripe ones. Yeah.
Where you've got, like, yeah, the turn signal in the middle and then the actual brake lights on the outside.
And the reverse on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
The back bumper is protruding, like, the front bumper is protruding noticeably, the back one is even more so. On both sides, there's, like, you know, you're going through numerous inches of car metal to get to actually damaging the frame, which is an interesting look.
I kind of like it, is the thing I'm actually realizing looking at this. I think this car, you know what, I started off kind of negative, I think this car is kind of cute. I think what I'm learning is I like two-door cars and I like small cars is what I'm learning from this podcast. Living in America, I feel like the car drift is towards the opposite end of wanting things to be bigger or at least four door at minimum. But I'm learning is I kind of dig these like little like two door coupes and whatnot from you know here. But yeah. Yes.
I should have clarified. I didn't realize this. We were talking about the first generation is what we said, right?
Yeah.
We're also talking about the first generation series one. There are three series within the first generation.
Oh, okay. Yes. Sorry. These are the, so yeah, series one.
I think we're about to move on to the series twos.
Yeah, I guess so. Because yeah. So let me look. Well, let's look and see if there's anything interesting to mention about the series one. We don't want to just go over the appearance.
Sure. Sure.
Let's see. Okay. So. It was originally referenced as the SA-22C because of the first alphanumeric of the vehicle identification number. Mazda's internal project number for what was to become the RX-7 was the X-605. In Japan, it was introduced in March 1978, replacing the Savannah RX-3, and joined Mazda's only remaining rotary engine-powered products called the Cosmo, which was a two-door luxury coupe, and the Luce luxury sedan. What is the Luce?
The Luce is an ugly piece of shit.
Oh, yeah, that is an ugly one. Oh, the Cosmo's cute, though.
Cosmo's cute.
I'll leave those open in case we need to go over those later, because again, maybe we will. Let's see, in Japan, sales were enhanced by the fact the RX-7 complied with the Japanese government dimension regulations, thus Japanese buyers were not liable for yearly taxes for driving a larger car. Oh, that's why there's so many small cars, right, I forgot, because that's, we learned that on the K-car, like, discussion, too, that having a smaller car was also just better because cheaper. Because you didn't have to pay the taxes on it. The rotary engine had financial advantages to Japanese consumers in that the engine displacement remained below 1500 cc, a significant determination when paying the annual road tax. So yeah, it seems like it was decently popular in Japan, at least going off the Wikipedia article. Obviously it's Wikipedia, but
the way the laws are written are assuming a more traditional engine, right? And so their measurements are such that a rotary engine can be like can squeeze in below the limit but actually have more power.
That's pretty good, actually. I like that. Let's see, Mazda introduced a limited production run of a special North American model known as the Leather Sport models. It was an uprated GS model with added LS badges on each B pillar. What the fuck? Hold on. Added LS badges on each B pillars, so I don't know what that means, but special stripes on the exterior. And Ellis.
This list is going to take forever. You can't do this.
Gold anodized wheels. Yeah.
The B pillar is the bar between the back of the front window and the rest of the car.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. There's a lot going on here. Extra stuff. Yeah. Extra speakers.
This is the ones you were seeing with sunroofs were probably leather sports.
Okay. They had exposed steel bumpers and a high mounted indentation located on the rear license plate. Called a Baroque Depression by Werner Bueller of Road and Track. That's a very funny way of wording that. A Baroque Depression. Okay, so it looks like those are the ones I really like, are the leather sport ones. Because I think those are also the black trim and stuff come from that.
Makes sense.
All right, Series 2, referred to as the FB, had integrated plastic-covered bumpers, a wide black rubber body side molding, wraparound tail lights, and updated engine control components. So it just kind of normalizes the stuff that the leather sport had, it seems like.
In large part, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the bumper is a lot more integrated on this one. For actual, like, design changes. Because, like, if you look at the first image and, like, a lot of other Series 1 ones, the bumper sticks out and is very obviously a separate piece.
Whereas, it almost looks like an aftermarket add-on.
Yeah.
It's so intrusive.
Here, it is kind of like, it is still, like, you can tell that it's actually not the same piece, but it runs together a lot more. It also looks like it has a bit more curvature on the bottom and goes a little lower. But, yeah, the hood design is overall the same. You add the trim, you know, to the side and stuff. Probably has that sunroof built in, because like I said, it seems like this is like, you know, adding all the stuff that the leather sport model had. Overall, it looks pretty similar, other than that bumper, though, looking at it. You know, like, the doors and whatnot are the same design. The rear looks like it's pretty much the same design. I'm gonna try to look for, Mazda... Let me see, this one's a 1983, so Mazda 1983 RX. Trying to look at some... get some rear shots of it, because the Wikipedia does not... Yeah, similar light design. It looks like, instead of having, like, the depression that the, license plate is in, it looks like you have kind of a more standard setup here, where you would have the license plate below the rear bumper.
I see.
You see what I mean? It looks a bit more like a standard vehicle rather than the... I kind of like the weird depression with your license plate in it, though, a bit more. It looks like, So this model right here is a different one. I mean, it's the same one, but this is a... if you look at this one... you can see that one has... It doesn't have, like, the area for the license plate on the bottom. Instead, it's just applied to the middle. But the other one we were looking at clearly has, like, the bottom cut out for the...
I think it's a regional thing, because this is... The one with the cutout is cut out for the dimensions of an American license plate, which, you know, I'm sure that same dimension is used other places. That's my frame of reference. And then the one without it, where it's placed between the lights, this is a more European-style, longer, thinner one.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Nice-looking car, though, still, honestly. It's still got, you know, a very protruding rear bumper that has, you know, plastic around the whole edge of it instead of only part. Less overall metal going on this, it looks like, basically, but not, like, a ton less. It's just a little bit less. Like, the bumpers seem a bit more traditional. I like the color on this one, because this one's, like, kind of a cream color. This one was at a showroom. Look at this. Sorry, I kind of dig this car. That one also has that optional, like, little, the sun reflectors on the back. It's much smaller than the first initial model we looked at, but you can see it from, you know, through the window there. This one also has some additional, looks like maybe, square reflectors on the bottom of that, just given that the turn signals are still where they are.
They look like dopey canines.
It does look like dopey canines. It's kind of cute, though. This one also has, actually, looking at the wheel... the wheel well is the same, too. Okay. That's the Series 2, though. It doesn't seem like it changes too much externally, just a couple of little, like, niceties. It's still cute to me. I still like this car design. Which is good. I'm gonna see when I turn around on this, because I'm betting by the time we hit the modern era, I'm gonna be like, oh, this is boring again. Trying to see anything fancy in the article. Not really. I mean, you know, it has the wraparound taillights, updated engine control, blah, blah, blah. It was 160 pounds or 135 pounds lighter in its standard or in the federalized trim. So I'm presuming that has to do with making the bumpers be overall, like, less, you know, metal.
Sure.
But yeah. Also has, disc brakes. Optional four-wheel disc brakes.
Disc brakes are good.
Yeah. Alright, Series 3?
Series 3.
Alright, so I love that this one's like, oh, it has an updated lower front fascia, but the problem is, they don't show the front of the fucking Series 3 on Wikipedia, they only show a rear shot. God damn it. Anyway, hold on. Mazda... RX-7 Series 3. Let's see. What does the front look like now? I need to see. Okay. Weird. So, here's like a good image. Here's like an image of one. This one's got kind of like a... This one's a weird one. And I'm seeing that... Well...
Oh, interesting.
Not entirely consistently that the bottom is like that, but there's... Like, that one's more pointy at the bottom. This one's a little bit more flat. And then, of course...
But it's still got the same basic shape.
Yeah, and then we have, like, this one that is even further back. It looks like there's a couple of different models. Probably depends on the year, because while we are talking about these series, they are obviously releasing them yearly, though. And as we've learned, beyond the series upgrades, they usually make, like, minor modifications. So, like, 1984, 1985, there's probably a couple little...
A facelift or two, perhaps. So what we're looking at here, what we're discussing, is the front of it. We often talk about the grille of a car being like a face, right? And until this point, the RX-7s have really not had very much of one. They just kind of drop off. They slope to a point very quickly, right?
Yeah.
And so the front grille doesn't have a whole lot there, so there's not a lot to express. These all have a sort of a scoop that sort of pops back out underneath the bumper that makes them to various degrees look like they're going poggers.
I wasn't expecting you to say that. I apologize. Yeah, no, they all kind of do, especially that first blue one.
The first one with the really sharp, like, forward, probably more like a more, like, sporty design, really is just doing, is going pog champ pretty hard.
Mm-hmm. It looks like, also, looking at it, the front, oh no, it's about the same size overall, actually. Looks like the bumper itself also doesn't stick out quite as much, not by, like, a ton, but I was, like, I'm just comparing to, like, some of the prior images. It looks like it gets pulled back a little bit more, probably because it has extra metal along the bottom for that one. But, yeah. And then, like, other options going on. So, let me see. Is there any changes to the rear? Not really. You know, optionally, you can have, like, a little spoiler. You can see, though, on the one on Wikipedia that spoiler is obviously, like, bolted on. It's not a, that's not, that's something you could just add on to any version.
The one on Wikipedia has a very, I think, a very attractive, like, caramel and milk chocolate color scheme going on.
Mm-hmm. It is pretty nice.
That I think looks cute.
Yeah. Still has a pretty decently protruding rear bumper. The rear bumper now has two little teeth on the top of it, right below the license plate. Still very square, you know, taillights with your usual setup. The one on Wikipedia also has mud flaps, and I'm noticing that the yellow one that I linked 6 here also does, so it looks like you could just have mud flaps optionally. I don't know if that's easy to add to a car, though. That might just be a common thing you could just throw on any car, I don't know.
It doesn't seem like it would be hard, but I don't know.
Yeah. But yeah, it still retains the overall feel of what the car is to me. It really hasn't changed too much between these series. We also have a picture of the interior here on the Wikipedia, and I kind of like it. It's got, like, a leather interior going on here on this one.
Which I'm sure not all do, but yeah, you've got leather seats, leather trim on the dash and stuff, leather steering wheel.
Now, you can see the problem with age, though, as you look in the middle at the the driver's seat, and you can see it's already torn open. I imagine that over time this is not going to last, probably. You can also see a lot of fraying on that wheel.
That said, reupholstering leather is, like, it's not cheap, but it is not the most expensive thing you can do to a car, so.
True. I kind of dig it. You know why I dig it? I think I dig it because I like the color, too. It's, like, this kind of, like, reddish, like, but, like, a very dark red, this one is, like, a very deep maroon.
Yeah, that's just like a slightly burnt red in a way that's very appealing.
Mm-hmm. It also helps that it also has red lights for its various meters there, which is kind of fun. Mm-hmm. Also a nice stereo in there. It's got an equalizer on the bottom of it. That's fucking cool.
That's pretty cool.
You could just adjust your fucking equalizer as you are driving. I need this song to be more bass boosted. Or whatever. I need to boost the midtones of this song. I don't know.
I'm going to guess that this is one of the nicer models.
Yes, for sure. Has an estimated 29 miles per gallon, more than my fucking car. 19 miles per gallon city, but still more than my old car. I'm always going to be bitter about my fucking 14 miles per gallon city. Which, I mean, I had an SUV, but it was also the cheapest thing I could get at the time. Because we knew who was selling it, so. Anyway.
I wanted to get more pictures of this. Unfortunately, they're hard to get. The only one I can get is from a forum that if I try to open it up, it won't let me in. It is a old, like, fucking, let me go here again just to, I forget this old style of, like, oh yeah, PHPBB. board, right?
Oh, God, yeah.
Like the old style forum called Aus Rotary, which one imagines is for Australian fans of rotary cars.
What a specific thing.
Well, they have a specific car just for them. They have the Mazda RX-7 Finale.
Oh. Okay, so that was only for Australian markets?
Yes. As far as I can tell, all that's different about it is it has, like, a plaque on it, and it says Finale a few places. No internals were changed, but, you know.
That's really funny. I guess just a different name.
And just sort of like the last model they were making of like, okay, after this, we are going to the second generation. This design is going to change a lot. And if you like this design, which people did, it's like, here's the sort of last hurrah.
Yeah. Oh, it does mention that the Finale also featured Last of a Legend on the plaque of the car. And special stickers and a blacked out section between the window and rear hatch.
Is 7 years enough time for you to call your car design legendary?
Probably
I mean,
not.
I know companies can say whatever they want. I just don't think it's necessarily justified here.
No.
Time held them up. They you know, listen, it is a classic car, but yeah. they shouldn't have said it. It's the Marsh meme. He's right, but he shouldn't have said it.
Finally, of the last of these Series 1s, we do have the RX-7 Turbo.
Classic.
A turbocharged engine variant of it. Looks to be still, it's basically still the Series 3, just with a better engine, it looks like. Yeah, it even mentions it was, the turbocharged engine was made available for the top-end model of the Series 3. So, it's basically just a, it has a different exhaust, it says, let's see, sorry. New impact turbo was developed to deal with the different exhaust gas characteristics of a rotary engine. Both rotor vanes of the turbine were remodeled and made smaller, so this is mostly internal changes. It was very short-lived, though, because the new generation was about to be introduced, but you did have a turbocharged version of this for a little while. Oh, that one's got a flat tire on there? No, that's just the Shadow. Okay. Shadow playing tricks on me. I was like, wait, why is that rear tire so flat? Oh, no. That's just, that's its Shadow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so supercharged. So what is a turbocharged version? Does it go faster? Is that what it is?
Have we not had the conversation about what turbo
maybe,
is?
Maybe, I don't remember, though.
It's... Okay, so basically what you're doing is you are forcibly increasing the density of the air that it's pulling in an intake, which makes it faster.
Okay.
It is a... It's... I am not qualified to say a lot more than that, yes.
Well, it had 20% higher speed than a turbo intended for a conventional engine because of the characteristics of the rotary engine. It sounds like more things should be using rotary engines if they want to go fast, actually. Which I guess is not always the goal with, like, you know, commercial of vehicles, but just something I noticed. Anyway.
I believe I could be wrong about this, but I believe in recent years rotaries have started to make a slow comeback because it was like, wait, why did we not make more of these? This just works really well.
For the second generation, there are, it looks like there are two models of second generation. There's not like two primary models initially stated, which are the FC3S and FC3C.
What if I just randomly derailed us very shortly for fun?
Yeah, sure. What?
So one of their first rotary engine cars was the RX-500. You should Google this, friend.
All right, RX-500 Mazda.
Do add Mazda, or you'll get the...
What is this? This fucking weird-looking thing. This looks like a... Uh-huh. Oh, it's a concept car, that's why. 1970 Tokyo Motor Show. This thing rules. It looks like a fucking... I mean, this looks like you were playing a racing game or something, and this is like a secret car.
It's like a racing hearse, but the hearse part is for the engine.
Yeah, I'm looking at different pictures of it. The door, it has those, these, like, weird cyberpunk-looking fucking pull-open doors like that. Like, they open at an angle in a cool way. You can see the rear popped open there. This is a cool-looking car. This doesn't look like a 1970 concept car, either. Like, this looks like a 19, like, I don't know, like, this looks like a much later concept car. Like, this is a concept car I would expect out of the 90s, I think.
Now, the thing about this is not just that it's a rotary car, which was unusual at the time.
Uh-huh.
It has two rotary engines.
Oh. Apparently, it's also quite light, because it's mostly, it apparently uses a lot of lightweight plastic for its construction.
And it has the big powered by rotary on the back, and a big, like, white text on a red background, which I think is very funny, too. Mm-hmm.
I also like the little, the stripes that it has going from where you pump the gas there. You've got a green stripe, a larger blue stripe, and then a smaller red stripe. Like, two thin stripes and then the thick blue stripe in the middle. I kind of like that, though. It's cool looking. Mm-hmm. It is often implied that at least three cars were made, but that claim is not true. There was only one example that was originally painted orange and lacked the headlamps. It was later repainted silver and stored at the Mazda factory, and then restored for the 2009. Oh, that's why it looks so nice still, because they restored it, and these are the more modern pictures. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That would explain. It is now on display at the Hiroshima Transportation Museum. So that's pretty cool.
Looks neat. While we're talking about rotary cars and Mazda, it's like, this is probably the coolest rotary car. So we'll just take a quick detour.
It can achieve a top speed of 150 miles per hour, which doesn't feel like a lot, but I guess probably for the 70s and, you know, this is meant to be a coupe that you buy as a person. Like, it's a concept car for the concept that they do make. It's just, like most concept cars, the concept is a lot more boring. I like how they describe it as being painted orange originally, though, because I'm actually finding a lot of these old pictures, and it looks like more of a yellow. I kind of like these original colors a bit more, because I like this, like, yellow and gray thing going on, because of course I do. You can see that originally, it does have the headlamps. You can see the line. I'm trying to see if I can find the pre-headlamp version of it, because there was the pre-headlamp version. No, I'm not finding it. Damn. It's really interesting, because those are, like, old pictures of it, right? Where it looks more yellow. However, it looks like some modern interpretations of that do go with the orange. I wonder if... Weird.
Yeah. It's hard to know, because it's just not very well documented.
Yeah. Oh, and of course, the original diecast... Here's an original diecast toy from a Matchbox diecast version of it with orange, though it goes with white on the bottom, and also it has a purple windshield, and I kind of love that.
Here's a picture of it from a trade show within the yellow, but also you can see that the colors in this photo are kind of whack, so
they're a little washed out. It might just be because of an old photo, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
so, yeah. Who knows.
Anyway, back to the modern... Well, modern,
I love saying
I say.
Who knows about things that clearly some people would know.
Yes,
just not
but...
us.
I mean, something that we can't quickly look up. Anyway, the second generation...
One more cool trick about it, which I didn't realize. Look at the back of the car again.
Uh-huh.
Do you see how many taillights it has?
Let me see. Hold on. Reopen that. Oh, it's got, like, a radial set of taillights located around the, back. It's got, like, three brake lights, I think that's the turn signal above, and then at the bottom is the, reverse lights.
Yeah, so the lights light up based on how fast it's driving. The faster it's going, the more lights turn on.
Wait, that eliminates the point of those being brake lights, though. I mean, I know it's a concept car, though, so it's not...
Yeah, they're just trying to celebrate the concept of rotary, I think.
Also, the fucking exhaust on the bottom, actually, is huge, I should say. Like, really big,
Oh, okay, actually, the more details make it clear. Oh, that is interesting, actually.
Oh.
So, it's not based on speed, as I thought. So, you have brake lights, you have turn lights, you have reverse lights, and then you have cruising or accelerating.
Oh.
So it's like, is this braking? Is it speeding up? Is it in neutral? Is it in reverse? Is it turning? Are the various phases of those lights. That's clever.
Yeah. Also, it looks like even the original does have those lights, though I will say the original does not actually have that writing, the powered by rotary and such. However, I kind of like the original because I like how white the trim is on the back there, so you've got this like really weird-looking contrast. Looks very old-fashioned in a way I think looks cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, then we have the Mazda RX-7 FC3S and FC3C are the two new ones.
The second generation here, yeah.
Second generation, yep. Mazda Savanna RX-7 in Japan was its name. It is a completely restyled version. It's much more of a sports car now. Definitely looks more standard. I still think it's fine, actually. I don't hate it as much as I was thinking I would while I'm looking at it. I do think the classic styling of the first generation is a bit better, personally. Because this one looks more like a normal car. Overall, the body shape is a lot more round. It does still have the pop-up fog lights. But the bumper sections on the front and the rear are a lot more like standard car. Everything's a lot more rounded and this just looks like a normal car to me. Like the epitome of, I know this is 1985? Let me see what year.
85 is the first one, yeah.
Yeah. This looks like a 90s car to me, is what it looks like, actually. Just because of the shapes. It's very standard. I do like on the models here, they do have a trim, a black trim located around it with a red stripe in the middle of it. The fog lights are still located in the same place, the turn signal lights. Everything's located in the same place. It is just this car has become a bit more normal. Looks like, there are several variations you can get of things like, hey, do you want an air intake on your hood there? It's still a coupe, but very normal looking car. It's fine. Apparently, the softer, sport tour trends of its day is how they describe the, change in shape. It is a softer looking car. Why have you become so soft, Mazda second generation RX-7?
I think that scoop is for the Turbo 2s. By the way.
Oh, right, because that is a turbo, yeah. The intercooler scoop on the bonnet, distinguishing it from the naturally aspirated models. What a weird way of wording that. I mean, I know what that means. The naturally aspirated models is just...
That is the term, though.
I know, it's just... comes across very funny and fancy to me, in a goofy
way. It is kind of funny, though. Just the idea of turbo...
Turbocharging the sportier version of this that's like a lot more normal.
If you think about it, it's kind of the same as the concept behind Demon Slayer, an anime I do not like.
What? Okay, explain that, please. I need to know.
Have you watched any Demon Slayer?
Like 3 years ago or something.
All their powers come from breathing good.
Yes, okay, I guess that is true, right. It's
Hama. That's what Turbo is. Okay. That's what Turbo is, yeah.
Turbo is Hamon.
Yeah, okay.
That was just a really weird way of saying that, though, to me.
I just had a moment of okay. That's funny. That's weird.
Let's see. There was a limited version at one point in Japan called the Infini. Which was available with the production model limited to only 600 cars each year. Some special noted features include the Infini logo on the rear, upgraded suspension, upgraded ECU, higher power output, lightened weight, 15-inch aluminum alloy wheels, Infini logo steering wheel, aero bumper kits, bronze-colored window glass, floor bar on the passenger side, aluminum bonnet with scoop, flare, and holder. The car was thought as the pinnacle of the RX-7 series until the introduction of the FD. Let me see if I can find a... Oh, did you find one?
Here's an Infini. Okay. It looks like all the others.
Yes, it does. It doesn't really change all that much, visibly. I mean, it has an even bigger, scoop on the hood, it looks like.
Uh-huh.
And it's got, you know, the little optional spoiler bolted onto the back, but this really isn't, like, all that much fancier looking on the outside. I'm sure performance-wise it performs differently given a lot of those changes, but, you know.
I mean, I often, also, this is a 3D render, of course, but the car people are obsessive enough that we could basically trust it to look right. I kind of like it when you have your more, like, your way, like, faster, higher performance model, and it's only by looking at the back and seeing the logos that you can tell. I think that's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. That's an admirable restraint.
Not only that, weirdly, the Series 1 and 2, which I think is what you linked there, is this, they were only in white or black exterior, and not just, like, white with details or black with details. It looks like it's all one color. Because you'll notice, like, that first one you linked is all black. So I'm curious to see. Series 3 was a shade green only. I want to see what that looks like, actually, now.
As far as I can tell, the Infinis, basically, like, the series of Infinis, are just because they're a limited production run. So it's just, like, telling you what year you got it from. I don't think they actually made that many changes year to year.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But it's okay. Part of their making it a limited edition thing.
So I'm seeing that it's shade green. This is also a render, but I think shade green is just green verging on black, is what that is. Because if you look at this render, which is supposed to be that version, apparently, you can see a little bit of green in the in it, but it is very, very, very dark green.
Yeah, here's another image that the lighting makes it a little easier to tell, because this is a car model of it, but you know.
Okay. Let's see. Anything else fancy? There was Australian Motors Mazda, which they introduced a limited run of 250 sports model series 4 RX-7s, each with no power steering, power windows, or rear wiper as an attempt to reduce the weight. Okay. Cool. Removing the rear windshield wiper is really funny to me.
I'm starting to see why there's an Aus Rotary forum.
Because there's a lot of, like, specific fucking
Australian versions of these cars. Yeah.
All right. There's also a convertible version of the RX-7 introduced to the U.S. market with ads featuring actor James Garner. Who's James Garner? Oh, this is, like, shit that I don't watch. Oh. Okay.
You haven't seen The Great Escape? Yes, you have.
No, I've not.
Really?
I have not, yeah.
Okay, fair enough, I guess.
Yeah. I've somehow not seen any of the movies, actually, that he's been in, it looks like.
I know the name. But, you know, you do you.
I mean, I'm not saying that I wouldn't watch them. I'm just saying, oh, this is an actor in a lot of things I want to watch. It looks like he's in a lot of westerns, also.
I don't think I care enough to tell people they have to. I'm saying, like, I like that movie. It's not a big enough deal that I'm like, you have to watch it. I'm like, you know, I like that movie.
Let's see.
We've also, of course, got the GTU.
Yeah. Oh, real quick with the convertible model. I think it looks worse without the back.
Convertible's very, unless you design something to be a convertible, usually it looks worse when you make it one.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry. What was the next one?
The GTU, which is their sort of like, it's like their finale for for the second generation here.
Yeah, let's see. Okay. I hate it in this color. It's actually even more like, it looks. It looks like you got into a wreck and, like, you had to repair the front of the car, but then they just kind of, like, blunted it, like, they just shaved it down.
Yeah, it has a hockey player nose.
Yeah, it's a little weird looking. I kind of don't like it as much.
The race version of it, I think, looks all right, because there's enough, the use of colors and striping kind of distracts from the weird shape.
Yeah, well, and the race version also has the classic bumper design again that I really like.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that helps it quite a bit, but the standard for GTU is just kind of,
Yeah, it definitely looks like its nose broke and it didn't heal right.
Yeah. Speaking of which, the third generation!
Yep.
This is an ugly car.
Yeah, the 90s are here.
Yep, the 90s are here, and this is a very... You know what's funny? This looks like a British car to me with how round it is.
Yes.
It doesn't look like a Japanese car to me. It looks like a British car. Like, just from the prior ones we've done on this show. So, the front of this... So, it still has the pop-up headlights. They are now circular. The reflectors on the sides, circular. The turn signal lights below the headlights, circular. The whole front of this, circular. Circles, circles, circles everywhere. Everything is curves and circles. You've got, like, a little, right behind the front wheel wells, like, these little circular intake thing, or, like, vents, probably, vents, uh-huh. Actually, given their design. The doors have this really ugly curve to them, in my opinion, that is very circular. The windows are rounded. The fucking mirrors are rounded. They look like Shrek's ears. You have, even on the back, the spoiler on the rear model shown on Wikipedia is mostly rounded other than the actual flat of the spoiler because you can't make that rounded. The taillights is like this. It has like a taillight bar where it's just like all one. I tend to not like those either when they're like all one light like that, unless you do something really cool with it, but this is not really cool in my opinion. It looks like it's got a pair of glasses on the back. Looks like it has a pair of glasses and, like, an open mouth because of, I think they, this one has, like, a blank license plate, so, if you had a license plate on there, it would probably look less weird, but it still looks like an open mouth because, like, that's the one
It doesn't
one
have
square.
A blank license plate. Look harder
at that.
Oh, yeah,
no,
it
they
has been
they
photoshopped
it out.
Very
yeah.
poorly.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, they're not trying to, they just don't want you to see the license plate, but, like, boy, it's bright white.
Yeah, that's bright, anyway, but the one area that's, like, square is the license plate thing there, right? Because, like, the area around the license plate, they rounded the corners of it, but it's still more square. And so it just looks like it has a mouth on the back wearing some funny sunglasses. And it's like, and it's got little rosy cheeks because there's the, you've got the, you know, these extra little reflectors on the bottom, probably the reverse lights, I assume. Given that they have the white light at the base of them, you can see it has like double. You can see under that light bar that it has two brake lights on either side, and then a the turn signals on the outside. And even the gas intake thing is a big circle. I just don't like how round this thing is. Oh, and the roof is also very round in a way that looks weird. I don't like it. I don't like it.
No, it's a bad car.
Let's see. Sales were affected because it didn't comply with the dimension regulations. Oh, so this was, like, a little bigger, I assume?
I guess.
As the RX-7 was now considered an upper-level luxury sports car due to the increased width dimensions, Mazda offered two smaller ones, the Yunos Roadster and the Yunos Presso Hatchback.
Oh, sounds those. Like it's time to talk about some variants.
Yeah, we're gonna have to. Given that those are variants of this first one, I guess we'll look real quick. Okay, so we'll talk about the Roadster, the Mazda MX-5 NA, also known as the Mazda MX-5 Miata in the United States, and sold in Japan as the Yunos Roadster. It looks like basically a convertible model of this thing. It's still
Do
very
you want to know
circle.
Something fun?
What?
I have driven this car.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
How did it perform?
I only drove it once. It was powerful enough that I was a little scared. So the story behind this is, I was the sound technician for my local church, mm-hmm. right? And so they needed me to show up, you know, on Sundays to, you know, make all the sound run. And my parents went out of town, and they took the automatic transmission and left me the manual, which in theory I knew how to drive, but I did not know how to drive. I managed to get to the church. I could not get back. I could not get the car moving again. And I had a neighbor who lived in the same neighborhood. They weren't right next to us, but it was like, you know, like a quarter mile away, who was wealthier and drove a Miata. And they were like, hey, listen, I can drive stick. I will drive your car home. You drive this to my house, and then we'll walk to our respective houses. And I was like, thank you very much. And we did that.
Okay. Apparently this thing is actually one of the best-selling sports cars. Huh.
Yeah. Mazda Miata is a name.
I didn't know that. I don't even think I've seen one of these. Like in the wild. I don't know. Huh. Maybe I have, and I just didn't realize what it was. The thing is, this is just a car. I think in some ways, it's a little less ugly, maybe?
I mean, I think a lot of the curves have been smoothed out to make this little Polly Pocket car.
Yeah, it's very small. It looks like, okay, so it mentions that there's, okay, the hard top is optional, apparently. So it typically does not have a top, which I think doesn't look very good. You can also see that it either can have the retractable headlamps, which I think look better, or there are various types of lights. Like, there's the one that's, like, you know, in the link at the top where it's, like, these very small headlights, very narrow. It's got kind of bigger ones on, if you look towards the bottom, you can see, like, one with the headlamps that are retractable and one behind it, which that has, like, a different kind of set of lights, it looks like, slightly bigger headlights. There's also an Australian facelift version that has those very small headlights again. Mm-hmm. It looks like, the car looks like it's high to me. I know that's a weird way of wording it, but especially, like, if you look at that facelift MX-5 from Australia there, the car looks like it's high.
I just don't see what you're talking about at all.
The if I see the headlights as eyes and the and the hole as a mouth, it's like I don't know.
I mean, I could see it like relaxing in a sauna.
I know, but it looks weird to me. I guess
relaxing. You would need to have like pink headlights for me to think it was.
Fair enough. There's like a billion variations of this one too.
They're not significant.
Yeah. Optional hard top. This is a slightly better design, I will admit, than the RX-7 Generation 3 IMO. I still don't overall like the car. Wait a minute, I just realized, those aren't headlights on the bottom that I thought were, like, thin. Those are just...
Oh, the... no, it has flip-ups.
Yeah, well, there's versions that replace the whole front with having those. Like, you can see this is the same model of car behind this one. But mm-hmm. It still has the pop-up ones on the... I just thought it had really thin ones on some. Okay, never mind. Weird. This is a strange car. I would not have guessed this is one of the most popular in the world.
I think the only version that I am going to say we should, like, specifically discuss is the Energia electric vehicle, which is an electric car from 1993. And that's just cool.
Yeah, no. And it looks like it's overall pretty much the same design as mm-hmm. the other one, but it's electric.
I do like the two-tone thing where it has a clear top and bottom, color-wise. I think that's cool.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty nice. All right, and then the other variant would be the Yunos Presso hatchback, a.k.a. the Mazda MX-3, or Mazda MX-3 Presidia in Canada, the Presso's Autozam AZ3 and Mazda AZ3 in Japan, or in Australia, the Yunos 30X, which until late 1996 where it became the Yunos 30X, the Mazda Yunos 30X. Sorry. This one, kind of like you said before too, this one seems to have adjusted the curvature to actually like fit the car overall. I'm still not the biggest fan of it, but like the headlights look better on this overall, like looking at the different models that are here. It doesn't look as British, basically, is my main thing that I could say I like about it. It's still round, and it's still just, this is just a car to me in a lot of ways. Like, I don't think it's, like, special or anything.
It feels like it has some of the tapering on the front versus a bigger back that I begin to associate with the Prius. This is like an earlier version of that trend, but I think you can kind of see it starting.
Yeah, you can see, especially when you look at it from the rear, especially realizing when you look at it from the rear, this has a huge rear windshield.
Yeah, pretty massive.
This car is fine.
Yeah, it's okay. It's fine. Okay.
Yeah, it's still, it's no Generation 1 or 2.
But it's also no Generation 3, because the third generation is bad.
Well, because the third generation looks almost like a boil or something. I hate it.
That said, we have been talking a lot of shit about the third generation. We've been talking about the third generation Series 5, however.
Yes.
Because there are multiple series within the third generation. There was only one in the second. But now we get to move on to the Mazda RX-7 third generation Series 6.
Let me see. Because there's not a good picture of it, I don't think, on Wikipedia. What does the Mazda Series 6 look like, RX-7? Okay, now it's just become... Weird. I don't hate it as much, but I think it's because it doesn't look as bulbous.
Yeah, yeah.
It looks like it's a bit more... So, the hood and the front, it looks like they flattened it just a little bit, but enough that it doesn't... Because, like I said, the other one looks bulbous to me. The initial Series 5 one. This is still not great. It still has Shrekier windows and whatnot, but it does look better. I don't know, I'm looking at it, I'm like, it's a little better, but it's not, still not great. I'm trying to even see what they, like, really changed that makes me not as reviled by it as that initial picture, but...
It's just that the one up above, like, if you look at the hood, the front hood, it's like, the fifth generation really just has this, like, shifting, bumpy curvature in a way that just feels like, because it's like, it feels like it's sort of, you start the window and it goes down, then it comes up, and then it goes down again, and then on the front it has this, like, weird, like, slanting downwards but still rounded. It just feels
I think also bad. The Series 6 just looks like it has is willing to have blunted points but more points nonetheless, right? Like the intakes on the front of it are a bit more, they're not just circles. The headlights are the, you know, the ones the lights under the headlights there are not just circles. They have kind of like on this model here, they have a bit of a, you know, not really a point. It's still blunted, but like this is willing to not just be only circles, I guess, is the thing.
They're like pretty close to like eye with eyelid shaped.
Yeah. Like I just think that like it being willing to have a bit more of these curves rather than only circles is like makes the design a bit more endearing. Still don't really like the spoiler design. Still don't really like the window design because these windows... I just don't like when the windows have that, like, really rounded design.
Mm-hmm.
It is better. It is a bit better. I'll give it that. What about the Series 7?
Well, we don't have to go into that yet because we also have some subdivisions within the Series 6.
I see. There's a bunch of different markets here.
Uh-huh. And just different versions of it. So you've got, like, the, for example, the one that they have featured here. For some reason, they don't have an image of the Series 6 on Wikipedia, but they do have the Series 6 Spirit Type R A-Spec.
That's a cool name. What does it look like?
Well, it's right next to Series 6, so you can see it.
Oh, wait. Yep, I see it. Series...
The silver friend here.
Yeah, okay. Huh.
One thing I will note real quick, this is not a big part, but this particular car has a very, like, brushed aluminum silver with red seats inside, and it looks fucking crisp. That's a good color combination.
It does, I know this is gonna sound maybe weird, because I haven't seen enough films to say this for sure. This looks like a Bond car to me.
The coloring definitely.
I think the brushed aluminum look and, like, how fancy it looks, just, it looks like a James Bond car to me. It still, you know, maintains having a bit more of those rounded edges. I do actually really like these fog lights. They look a little depressed, but I still like them. I think the color is doing a lot for the car. Honestly, I'm realizing, one of the reasons I think I have such a negative reaction to that third generation is so many of them are painted red. And I think red is an awful color for, like, the shape of this thing.
Yeah, it's not flattering, that's for sure.
Whereas this, like, the silver look works a lot better for me. Or, like, you know, I linked you the, or I didn't link it. But, other colors look a little better with this, like, more rounded design. And also, like I said, just having less circles helps it for me.
Here's another Type R picture. I don't know if it's the exact same, you know, if it's the A spec or whatever, but this is more front on. And the eyes, the lights there combined with the face looks like it's like watching a friend who's having a hard time.
Yeah, like I said, it looks a little sad, a little
like,
pensive.
Like sympathetically sad, right? It's like, yeah. Oh, buddy.
Oh, Victoria, another Australian one. I mean, I guess Mazda had, like, a big Australian push is what it looks like to me, just off of everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this one's fine. This one's fine. Again, I've acknowledged we are not going to reach the highs of the Gen 1, or the, yeah, Generation 1s that I like, but this is fine. Any others to link, or...
I don't think so. It might be time to look at the Series 7 and see what that looks like, which, again, Wikipedia will not help us.
Yeah, it also says that Series 7 was mostly minor changes, but let's see. Series 7, RX 7. The Series 7, RX 7, yeah, no, it doesn't. It looks like they made the hood a little more sunken in, like, even more sunken in, basically. So, again, it has that less bulbousy look, like, here's, like, you know, a picture from the front. Then again, like I said, probably also helps that these are not in bright fucking red. It looks like a car. It's fine. Again, it doesn't really... hasn't updated the design enough for me to care either way at this point. Like, it just looks like the Series 6 in the...
It is a motor vehicle.
Yeah, that is a vehicle. All right, what about the Series A? This was the final series. Only available in the Japanese market, okay. Let's see, what does that look like? I presume it's going to look probably similar. Okay.
I think of the pictures you posted, the last one is a Series 8.
Yes, I think so too, because I just also found this one.
It's a wide boy.
Yeah, okay. It's also even more flat, it looks like. Especially, mm-hmm. like again, with the hood and stuff. And has, like... I'm trying to search my feelings about this version of it.
I think it looks like it should be cleaning an aquarium. It looks like a catfish.
Yeah, like, especially because that, like, weird little bumper on the bottom that all of these seem to have, like, all these, final Series 8s seem to have.
I wouldn't have brought this to America either.
Yeah, which, you know, they didn't. Oh, is that it? Is there no more RX-7s after that?
No more RX-7s.
Okay, well, let's see. What is our time? We are at an hour. Six, do you want to talk about the Cosmo and the Luce? Because those are kind of fun.
Well, I mean, if we were going to do that, we should talk about the RX-3.
Right, okay, we'll do that then.
It's actual predecessor.
Yeah, let me find the RX-3. The RX-8 I don't give a shit about, but...
The RX-3 is also known as the Mazda Grand Familia.
And the Grand Familia, or Familia, isn't always rotary-powered, though. It's the specific sub... one called the Savannah, and that's what the RX-7 spins off of. But the base Grand Familia, I'm assuming Familia or Famia, they go with Familia in the katakana, so I'm going with that.
Okay, I wasn't sure what language it was supposed to be aping, so.
Yes, I mean, Familia seems like Italian to me, and I assume that means family, which this is not a family car, though, because, I mean, I guess it has a couple of different versions. It looks like, though, a lot of the ones I'm seeing are still, like, the two-door, you know, coupes. I guess there is a four-door sedan version. The sedan version is so tiny, though. Starting with the one at the top of the page, you know, you've got this very bright silver, that is not, like, a reflective silver, really. It's a very, like, you know, matted silver. With some, like, chrome... like, trim around the windows and, like, these, like, chrome... What is that on the top? Like, a bike mount?
It has a luggage rack, yeah.
Or a luggage rack, yeah. I mean, this looks like a... Is this 60s? This looks like a 60s car to me. Nope, 71, okay.
It looks very British.
Yeah, this also looks very British, funnily enough. It's a very little guy. These bright chrome bumper on the front and back. You've got this interesting grill that is just a bunch of circles. Like, it looks like it has, like, a bunch of, like, gun barrels on the front of it, is what it looks like to me.
Mm-hmm.
You've got these little square headlights, lights towards the front that are very, like, ugly, in my opinion. It's a very little guy, though.
I hope you don't have a Gran Familia, or Familia, because they're not going to fit in this fucking thing.
Yeah. Well, don't worry, because then, in this case, this is why we have the 808 sedan, as shown here, the Australian one, which adds two more doors to the back, but it looks about the same size, basically, like, you only expand it a little bit. That whoever's in that back seat is going to be cramped.
Whoever's in the front seat looks uncomfortable.
Yeah, the front seat also looks very cramped. Like, look at the guy who's holding the wheel there. Look at his wrists.
Yeah, like, look at the distance. Yeah, he does not have a lot of space in there.
Yeah, not much else changes. This one doesn't have, like, the suitcase, the luggage rack, and it doesn't have, like, the as much chrome trim around. This one also has the windows in a more sensible location. I mean, I know that the other ones probably work. I don't like the way they look as much. There's also the wagon, which is the station wagon version. This one, it's really funny because it still looks like the seats would be cramped, but now you've got a really big trunk.
The dog would be comfortable.
The dog like would be very comfortable in this car. Everyone else, though, not as much. There's also the 818, which doesn't look like it really changes that much of the external design. It still looks pretty similar. Even, like, the facelift version. The facelift version, I guess, the main differences are, like... I would say, like, the bumper design. You've got, like, this bullhorn-looking-ass bumper going on.
And the grill is going for it.
Yeah, the grill is now just squares instead of a bunch of circles. It's not an array of guns.
Right. I think it's bigger, too.
Yeah, it looks like a bit bigger. Same with the headlights. They look like a bit bigger, but a very similarly designed car. These do not look like comfortable cars, I will say that. Like, the prior cars, even though they're small, like, you know, two-door ones, coupes, they look like they wouldn't be, like, that awful to drive in. These look uncomfortable to me.
Yeah.
Then there's the Savannah, which... the Savannah does have a couple of design changes. It looks like it has double headlights by default, and double taillights, actually. It's still this very boxy little guy, though. The Savannah they have on display there from the front has hexagonal grille. Very futuristic. But a lot of the major changes to this, obviously, are it also being a rotary engine car at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I also hate that Savannah logo on the side. You can see it on the this rear shot here. I don't like the way that that's... I don't like that font. It looks weird.
Oof.
Just really ugly looking.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like a shop you would buy, like, crappy food from or something. Like, we are Savannah. And it's, like, and it's in the mall and no one goes there. And you wonder why no one goes there. It's because it has this crappy font. No. I don't know. I just don't like that font. But yeah, there's a couple of series of these, but honestly, looking at them, they look pretty similar throughout.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, these get turned into a much cooler car, because these cars still kind of suck, IMO.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
Yep. Alright, now we can go for the Luce and the Cosmo. So, the Mazda Luce, okay, you called this one really ugly earlier. Yeah, this is an ugly fucking car. This one was produced from 1966 until 1991. Widely exported as the Mazda 929. It was advertised as Mazda's largest sedan. Later generations tended to have luxury items and interiors, and so the Luce became the flagship offering. It was replaced by the Sentia eventually, which the Sentia, that's just a normal ass car. That's the most car ass car. So we won't talk about that, but The Luce, though, is just a really ugly car. This feels like something, like my grandpa would have. Like, I don't know. It's got this... So, the version on the primary picture there is not the original one, so let's talk about that original one first. The SU and SV series, 1966 to 1973. This is a boxy little guy. So we've got...
These first ones, this first generation, I think are no less generic than what it will become, but they have some charm in their genericism.
Yeah, like, you have one picture that's, like, taken by a beach, where, it's got this very square, like, you know, to pop up the hood, like, very square door. You've got, like, these round headlights, very, you know, standard grille going on the front. You've got, like, a little chrome bumper. I love that this guy just has, like, some Kleenex on the dash. Square little, mirrors. We'll say also, this version that's at the beach looks so rusty.
Yeah, this one's been through some life.
Yeah. This is the estate one. This is the one I think that has, like, this is the big station wagon one, because you can see the back is, you know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's, you know, very, very, like, very generic in a lot of ways, like you said. It looks like a sedan. A station wagon. There is a sedan version also on the Wikipedia here, as a picture, which you simply lose some ass, and instead, you know, it looks more like a normal car on the back.
Yeah, the sedan, I think, looks like, it also looks like a Bond car, but not like the one Bond would drive, like the one the sidekick of this movie would pick him up in.
Yeah. You also have the 1500 and 1800, which was sold depending, it just says it was sold in export markets as either 1500 or 1800.
I think they're the same car. It's just depending on where you are, different numbers.
Yeah. It looks pretty similar. I do love this little weird guy having a little intake on the hood there, though. Because it just feels very out of place with how boxy and little this guy is. Yeah, this is just, that's sure a vehicle. It doesn't really look like it changes too much. We'll say all of these have had key accessed gas tanks for, you know, refilling them. Then you have the R130, which is a
This is the rotary one. The others have all been normal.
Which is interesting, actually, because this rotary one's design, I can see how this also is like an RX-7, because this one changes its design quite a bit. Mainly...
And looks kind of charming.
Yeah, So the front of it is it has a bit pointier of an area above the headlights. It has a bumper that sticks out a lot more. Still a chromed bumper, though it has some plastic at either corner, some black plastic. It looks sharper, is how I'll put it. You've got these nice, like, flattened edges along the side of it, like by the door. It's not like the prior generations have been more rounded. This one's got a lot more of a defined edge. Partway through the door and the body. You still have, it looks like it has a rear bumper that also sticks out quite a bit, mostly chrome, with plastic at the ends as well. It's just kind of a, like, sharper look of the prior, like, Luces that we've looked at.
It almost feels like it has a touch of, like, retrofuturism in the shapes here.
Yeah, especially, like, considering, like, the shape of the mirrors, like, you've got these, like, very circular conical mirrors and stuff, like, and, like, you know, that with the headlights and, like, the... Yeah, I could see the retrofuturism thing. This is a neat-looking little guy. Then we get the LA 2 and 3 models, and oof. These are kind of ugly. They add a lot more silver to the front, is what they did. The grill and the light section is, like, very flat now. Like, the whole front... See, one of the things that was about that prior one that I liked on the R130 is that it's a lot pointier at the front. This goes and flattens it again, and it's mostly chrome, and I just think it looks kind of ugly. You know, the rest of the car, it still has, like, the sharper details from the R130. Like, it's got that sharper, like, edge going from the body all the way to the back of the car. Midway through, but, like, I just don't think... I just think the front of this car is really ugly.
Oh, the and the back. The rear is a lot.
Yeah, the back of this is also ugly. So you've got, like... It's very flat on the rear, also. You've got these hexagonal, like, tail lights and turn signal lights with some square reverse lights on the bottom. It also has the rotary engine little emblem, so you know that this has a rotary engine. This is the, I don't like this car. This one adds a trim to the side, which helps a little, but, yeah.
I think it's interesting because the way this back is designed, you can tell it's the same company that puts out that RX500. It just sucks. They just did a bad job with this one.
Yeah. There's also, the wagon version of the RX4 here, and the wagon version actually looks a little better because the rear of it looks a bit more normal, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Even if this is, like, a rusted-to-hell one. I will say the wagon version also here does a really weird thing with the trim, where, like, instead of it being a consistent line, it breaks on the, rear passenger door for some reason. But, like, that's intentional. That curvature is intentional, I think. Yeah, it is, because you can see the way this ends. Why does it do that? That looks really ugly.
Yeah, I don't know.
But, like, it's intentionally ugly, because, like, it's very obvious they manufactured it to be that way. I just think it looks really bad, that trim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
And then we have the 929s here, which... again, I just wish they weren't so flat at the front. Like... They just look like they have, like, a snub nose or something, is kind of, like, the feeling, you know?
Yeah.
Both versions here, that they have the 929 sedan and the 929 wagon, I think the wagon is still really ugly, but it feels more like, it feels a bit more acceptable to me, even in its ugliness, but that 929 sedan is just a really ugly car. I don't like, the way the headlights and the grille are, like, inset there at all. Then we have the LA4. Okay, this is where it gets even taller at the front. Like, it's even more flat and tall, like, the bumper. This is
If I saw one of these cars, I would call it a Buick.
Yeah, it looks... Yeah, okay, that's what I'm thinking of, is a Buick, okay. Because I was going to say, these look like an American car to me or something.
Yeah, yeah.
They're really ugly.
Yeah.
They have these very square grills, you know, these things are squares, but, like, squares derogatory, I guess, which I feels weird after all my complaining about the circles, but, like, I what I'm realizing is I like pointiness to my squares as opposed to flat. Like, this is all flat. You know, the grill is flat, the headlights are flat, the bumper is very flat, everything is so flat, but it doesn't have hard edges, it still has soft edges on everything. But it's all flat. In a way that I just think looks really ugly.
You want to know what's funnier?
What?
Is when you get to the next one, the HB series, where it looks like approximately 90% of cars from the late 80s to early 90s.
Yeah. And there are versions of this, so, like, okay, when we're looking at the HB series, right, there are hardtop sedan versions of these that are a little pointier because of the grill, and I actually think these look fine, you know?
I mean, they look incredibly generic, but
they look generic, but it looks fine. Like, I wouldn't go, oh, this is a really ugly car, it's just, that's a car.
Yeah, that's a car.
Now, there's the sedan version of it, or the station wagon, sorry, still goes for that really heavy front, like, flat look in a way that I think is still ugly, and still looks like a Buick, actually.
Mm-hmm.
The back of this, also, again, it's just, there's a lot of flatness going on, but at least, like, it has, like, the protruding, like, bumpers and stuff. So I can, like, I'm much more readily accepting of this. I love the ridiculous, dashboard of the Luce 2.0 Gentile X, in Japan here. With its fucking, like, wood-painted interior. And also, like, the rugs at the bottom that are emulating, like, wood. Like, with the, like, the wood coloring.
What the hell is that in the middle of the steering wheel?
In the middle of the steering wheel.
Is that, like, an odometer there or something? What the fuck is that?
Oh, yeah, that's, like, a little meter or something. I don't know.
I'm zooming in really hard, but the resolution is too low to really
tell. The resolution's really tiny on this. I have no clue. And then you hit the later HC series where they all just kind of normalize into fully being generic, even the station wagon ones. And then as you go on, there's the Kia Potential, which is just the loose as produced by South Korea, because, like, you know, Kia, the Kia plants in South Korea kept producing the loose. And that's just, it looks like a generic-ass car. Alright, finally we get to end with the fun one. At least it starts fun. The Mazda Cosmo. The 1968 version here at the top. What a fucking guy. This is, speaking of retrofuturism, this feels like a very retro car that is trying to look fancy, though. I like it. You've got these, like, really deep inset headlights that have, like, a plastic around the top of them, weirdly. So they have, like, these, like, bubbles that the headlights are in. You get all these nice little, like, it looks like the bumper is kind of like a mustache because it's got, the like, this hard edge in the middle that pops up, so it, like, looks like a smiling mustache right below a mouth, or right above a mouth, for the opening. Then you've got, like, these little, you've got these nice little, like, bevels going along the side of the car and in set, like, by, above the front, wheel wells, like, you know, to the rear of the wheel wells. You have these, like, little vents cut in that look really nice. Also has this little button. I assume it's, like, a reflector, but, like, a really tiny
one, it's right? a tiny little dome reflector.
Yeah. And then as you hit the back, you get this, this thing's got kind of a big butt. like, it just protrudes out the back real far, and you get this, like, you know, chrome bumper on the back, too, that kind of sticks out even further. This is a weird little guy. I kind of like it, though, just because of how strange it looks.
Its rear lights are divided in two by the bumper in a way that looks really interesting. And then there's a sub little reflector within them, which I guess is probably the turn signal?
Yeah, I think so. That's probably the turn signal.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, and then you've got, like, the reverse headlights, too, like, right on the back there. I like it. It's really weird. It's got, like, a hugely... It's got a big trunk that's very flat, but... They chose the name Cosmo to reflect the international cultural fascination with the space race, and they wanted to use the rotary engine as forward-thinking. I mean, this feels like a car that should be called the Cosmo, too, because, again, it has that very, like, 50s, you know, aesthetic thing going on, even though this is a 60s car. It's really cute, though. I like it. I like this little guy. It's, you know, not a lot else to say about it. They did use it as a racing car for a little bit. They, picked a very grueling test in Europe to prove the reliability of the rotary engine. The 84-hour Marathon de la Ra- 84-hour? What? Hold on, now I need to look that up, because I'm curious about this 84-fucking-hour-long
marathon. I never know what that shit actually means, because there's also, like, the 24-hour Le Mans, but it's like, you're not driving for 24 hours.
Yeah, you're not
hours.
Driving that's not that long, that right? Like, that's the thing. Like, an 84-hour epic endurance race, that pushed the car to its limit. What does that mean? Hold on. With some really unique rules, this race must go down in history as the world's longest motor race. One of the most demanding motorsports events ever. Let's see. I want to see what makes it 84 hour. Okay, there is a 56 teams competing on a 3,100-mile long route. It took place in 6 countries and included 30 mountain passes and 90 hours of almost nonstop driving. I guess you relay raced your car.
Wow.
They just swapped drivers or some shit.
Wow. That's a lot.
That's kind of a nightmare. And like I said, it's more of an endurance test than a race at that point. It's because a lot of cars that are designed for racing are not designed to keep driving that long.
Yeah. For sure.
But yeah, it looks like there's this Series 2, which I'm trying to see. Visual changes include a larger grille under the front bumper. I'm going to see if I can...
Here's some art of the Series 2. So the very top picture is the Series 2. The one below it is the Series 1. So you can see the front grille looks pretty different.
Yeah. Still looks pretty good, though. I like this.
Oh, yeah, I think the Series 2 is a very charming little car.
Yeah, it's a lot of, it keeps a lot of the same features I like from the Series 1 also. Like, has those weird bubbles for the headlights. I know that those are bad, because I think we had those on a prior episode, and we talked about how, like, one of the problems with those is you have two failure points, because those, the bubbles themselves could kind of get, like, you know,
messed up
and damaged and, like, scratched over time. But it still has, like, that nice, like, weird little, like, groove along the side, and like the I like those vents a lot. Has a bigger reflector on the Series 2 model. Just looks like a nice car still, though. Yeah,
I also have to show you this. This isn't like, I don't, you know, we're not gonna like properly give this its own entry, but this is a sort of a revamped Series 2 that somebody did with a wide body kit. Okay. And I think it looks stunning.
Let me see. Ooh. Oh, that's a really, that's a neat one.
It looks really cool.
I love this ridiculous, like, these lights they put around the headlights there, like, in that bubble. This is kind of fun. This is a fun little guy. Yeah, that's a neat little one. And then, unfortunately, it all falls apart as we hit the Series CD, which turned into Buicks again.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
They're weird Buicks, though.
They are weird, yeah, but, like, they have that... Again, they're going for that, like, front, like, you know, really flattened face, and, like, you got this really square grill and these square headlight wells. It's just, why have they done this? It was known as the Cosmo AP, or anti-pollution in Japan. Mazda America used the Mazda Cosmo name and offered it 1976 through 78, after which it was replaced by the RX-7. Which, fair enough. I would prefer the RX-7. There was apparently a version that had a notchback coupe called the Landau, which had an opera window. What is an opera window? Oh, it's the little circular... What is the Why? Point? Oh, it was a design feature popular during the 1970s, and that's why. It was just popular in the 70s.
Okay.
You can see that a lot of 70s cars have these, but, yeah, I don't understand why they're popular. Perhaps the most notable return of the porthole was in the Ford Thunderbird. Apparently, it was provided as an option on the Thunderbird to improve rear quarter visibility with the removable hardtop in place.
Apparently, this was wildly popular in Japan, and nobody else liked it.
Yeah. Typically mounted in the C-pillar. Fair enough, I guess. I'm not like a, you know, I'm not really a huge fan of that.
Shall we move on to the HB Cosmo?
Yeah, let's move on to the HB. HB kind of is a bit more normal. I do dig it a bit more, mainly because it adds, like, the weird little, it has the pop-up headlights that I like.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit more flat. It's not quite as ugly on the front. I think that they have a Cosmo Rotary Turbo Limited here that goes back to being ugly again. It's a bit... I really like just the standard models that are, like, displayed here, though. These standard, like, coupe models. Like, you know, it's not... This is not a car that, I would say you can write home about. But I think this works, you know? It works better than the prior model.
It has some charm.
It has some charm to it. I think the things I really like are specifically, like, the little square lights on the front. Having the pop-up headlights is really nice. And I like that black trim going around it.
Yeah,
yeah.
A lot of these Mazdas do that, like, dividing line trim, and it just looks good.
Mm-hmm. At least when it's a fully dividing line and not a weird, we're gonna have a break in the middle, like the one on the loose there.
That's ugly.
This is a nice little one. And then you hit the Series JC afterwards, which, okay, this is just a modern car. What have you done?
I mean, that's not fair to modern cars. This is a fucking ugly modern car.
Yeah, that's true. I should say, it's weird that it looks so modern, even though it was produced in 1990. But this looks like maybe not modern. This looks like a 2000s era car to me, though.
Sure.
Which, I guess, to be fair, a lot of people I would know in the 2000s would probably own models of car from the 90s. It's not like I knew people who were buying new cars, but, you know.
Yeah.
This is fine. The one positive I can say is the one that they have on display. I like that it has, like, the two tones. It's got the, like, you know, lighter, you know, silver on top, and then it's got this darker gray on the bottom. But otherwise, I mean, it's just a car.
It's just a car.
Apparently, this one appears in Sega GT and in the Gran Turismo and Gran Turismo 2 games, as well as in the arcade game series Wangan Midnight Maximum Tune 1 through 6RR.
I do think that it's, like, its biggest problems is just proportions, right? Mm-hmm. It feels like there's way too much front hood to how much grill there is. The back looks not great. It's, you know, it's just not a very good looking car.
Yeah, it's, yeah, it's just not great. All right. I think that we can leave that as our last little look at these Mazdas, unless you had another plan.
No, that sounds good to me.
All right. Well, Six, where can people find you on the internet?
Well, just real quick before we that, I will shout out the latest from MAHQ, of course. We are getting some Elgheim updates in the time since, you know, Witch for Mercury has now ended. I think there's still a few last things to post from that, but the work has mostly stopped for now, and so we're switching to some other, you know, some other classics. You know, Martin's successor, Nadeshko, and stuff. You know, just filling in gaps.
Yeah. Also, finally, I've noticed that Google has finally, like, wiped the old URLs away, seemingly, because when I try to look up stuff... Which, that's not a problem on MAHQ's end, it's just the problem of when you change a URL on a site and, you know, Google keeps it on there for months and months.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah. You can find me on Twitter at SixDetmar, SixDetmar. My DMs there are open for any questions, comments, listener requests. To be honest, that's still a great place to get a hold of me. I am basically only promoting things there at this point. Occasionally I'll reply to a friend. I've pretty much switched to co-host.
Yeah.
So, you can still, if you need to get a hold of me, either one is fine. I will get the message, I will, you know, respond to it appropriately. But if you are looking for Six being chatty, that's at SixDetmar on co-host.
Yep, and you can find me on Twitter, co-host, and Blue Sky, all of which are Low Poly Robot. I have secured it on everywhere, as the Twitter site. It's like I said... I still don't think it's going to just die immediately, but it doesn't matter if it dies immediately. If everyone I know moves to other places, I'm going to go to where people I know move. You know? That's what matters to me. Anyway. All right. Well, and with that, Six.
Gosh, I don't have any Mazda quotes. Shoot.
Mazda quotes, I'm looking it up. Of course it's going to pull up the, oh damn, their stock has plummeted today. Not really, it went down like 8 cents, but you know.
Zoom, zoom.
Ah! That was so loud, Six! Oh my god. I think I'm dead.
Like diamonds as the wind rushes through your hair, as we're speeding into the distance, the sky is a streak of blue. I feel like we're driving through heaven. I laugh like a child with you. We're gonna drive forever. Zoom, zoom, zoom. We're riding with the wind. Zoom, zoom, zoom. Down the freeway of our dreams. Zoom, zoom, zoom. Following the white line. Zoom, zoom, zoom. Leave the real world far behind. Yeah, zoom, zoom, zoom. Yeah, zoom, zoom, zoom. Yeah, zoom, zoom, zoom. Yeah, zoom, zoom, zoom.
Someday logic and